Welcome back to JR Morning on a Wednesday hump day in the city. And tensions between Washington and Moscow, well, they continue to simmer as plans for that highly anticipated summit meeting between President Donald Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin in Budapest have been put on hold. According to the White House, both sides appear unready to engage in serious peace talks over the ongoing war in Ukraine. With diplomatic momentum stalling, questions swirling about what this means for the United States-Russia relations, we're joined by retired Lieutenant Commander and former Navy Intelligence Officer Austin Gullett for his insight on the pause and what it could signal for both the path toward peace. Commander, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with y'all.
So what do you think from your perspective, Commander, when this meeting has been put on hold? What does it tell us about when these preliminary talks between the two hit a pause? Is this a strategic move? Is a sign of some type of deeper issue, stalemate?
Well, I think it goes back to the meeting Friday between President Trump and President Zelensky, and I thought some good came out of that. A lot of the reporting was that it was contentious, but you know, the key takeaways were it appears that President Trump pressed President Zelensky to concede that remaining roughly 2% of Ukrainian territory that is not currently controlled by Russia, but Russia wants that. Putin wants that. Zelensky, you know, planted his flag and said, no, you know, we refuse to cede that territory. And President Trump accepted Zelensky's refusal to cede it. Another key takeaway was Trump did not offer the tomahawks. So I think, you know, coming out of Friday, President Zelensky was able to reaffirm and convince President Trump that Ukraine did not want to cede any more land. And then that carried into the conversations between Minister Lavrov and Secretary Rubio, knowing that President Trump now supported President Zelensky's, you know, hardline view. Then basically, Rubio and then Lavrov, they said, well, we're at an impasse here. You know, Russia still wants that land. Trump is demanding a ceasefire pre-settlement where Russia demands a settlement first. So based on all of that, I think President Trump realized that, hey, you know, I've spent enough time with the red carpet and the dog and pony show and the optics with my meetings with President Putin. And right now, there's no real reason to meet.
Do you think there was a meeting set up in the first place? Because, you know, the Kremlin puts out a lot of information, and they were suggesting that the meeting wasn't set in stone. What do you think what happened here?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was set in stone. I think it was a bit of a sort of a good idea of momentum and diplomacy. And last time we spoke, you know, riding a little bit of that momentum from the Gaza peace deal. But neither side, sort of following up to was it a hard confirmed meeting, neither side publicly abandoned the plans. But I think Russia's reluctance to cede their demands really made Trump and his staff see that there was no deal in sight. So I don't think there was a hard meeting plan. There was just, you know, serious intentions and movement.
You know, the European leaders, they seem to back the president's push for an immediate halt to the hostilities, but they want that pressure on Russia to intensify as well. How do you interpret that balance? I mean, is Europe trying to keep Trump engaged while signaling a little skepticism toward Moscow?
Yeah, I think the Europeans know that the U.S. and President Trump and pressure from the U.S. is still the best play here. And I think the Europeans, I think their viewpoint is that we must ramp up pressure on Russia's economy and defense industry until Putin is ready to make peace. And I think the Europeans believe that the U.S. is still the best entity to convince Putin that continuing the war is against his interests. So I think the Europeans are going to continue to support President Trump and be diplomatic about it while firmly supporting Ukraine and Ukraine not ceding any more land.
We had an oil expert on yesterday who said that Russia is still selling all of its oil to folks and actors that don't care that they are engaged in this war. Is the president still interested in trying to put sanctions on the countries that are buying from Russia?
I think it's an option, and I think you're right. There, the countries that don't care are still going to buy that oil. China certainly comes to mind, but I think it's an option. After President Trump, sort of backpedaled a little bit on the tomahawks, perhaps sanctions on oil have gained momentum. I can't say for sure what's going on in his equation, but no, I think it's a fair point, and I think it's. That's one of the only options going forward. If you're not going to give the long strike capability to the Ukrainians, then you have to hit Russia somewhere else. And I think sanctions is where you do it.
Speaking with Austin Gullett, retired lieutenant commander and former Navy intelligence officer here on JR Morning. And Austin, I'm wondering, do we ever get to a point where, there was going to be talks or an end to this war when you have a person like Vladimir Putin who doesn't even respect Zelensky, doesn't even really, respect him as a leader of Ukraine?
Right. It's a difficult situation. There's no easy answer here. And certainly when you have an actor like President Putin who's leading the hostility. So there's no easy way out here. I still think all of these are concrete positive steps. From the Friday meeting with Zelensky and Trump, we know where Zelensky stands. We know that Trump has now supported that. Only ceding the battle in the current battle lines vice additional territory. So that's a good thing. We now, it's more affirmed where Russia stands. Nothing has really changed since the Alaska summit. We want more territory we don't currently have. And so I think it's good to know those things concretely. Perhaps we didn't know them as well before. And then you can move forward knowing those are the firm stances. And it's really up to President Trump as sort of the key leader here, the key influencer to figure out sort of the next move, with the Europeans at his side.
How long do you think the president will be engaged in this? Because there was a time we were talking with you maybe months ago where he was saying, if a deal isn't done, I'm out.
Yep.
And now he seems to be very much in.
Right. Yeah, I said from, the first time I went on Fox, I was asked that question, and I said we will always be involved. We have the most influence, the most resources, the most current warfare practice and doctrine, and President Trump is a significant diplomat. Certainly, his first few months in office, and this is what he loves to do, and I think he does carry unique influence. With world leaders and a unique influence with hardened world leaders, Russia, Iran, China, unlike some other politicians and presidents typically do. So, there's frustrations, there's ebbs and flows, but President Trump and the U.S., I don't think we're not going anywhere.
Austin Gullett, retired lieutenant commander, former Navy intelligence officer. We appreciate you coming on, giving us your insight on JR Morning. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
You as well. And coming up, the vice president is in Israel. What's the latest updates on that fragile ceasefire? Let's talk to Jonathan Savage next at 6:35.